Nature, however, seems to have made a choice because all electrons have the same charge as do all protons. Or do they? Do you see the third phase intelligence working naturally, quote, naturally, with these people? Or do they? Do they? Notice, we can find out how. By looking at nature with supernatural penetration, we can see through to the structure of nature. We can see through to the structure of structure. Notice the third phase. Notice the thrice greatest hermetic principle. There's what happens. There's the structure of what happens. There's the structure of the structure of what happens. You don't have to carry it further than that. At that stage, one is able to see through. If you can see the structure of structures, you can see through. In other words, you enter into the, what occultly was called the invisible. And you can see the structure of structure. You're able to see, at last, the invisible. Or do they? In 1928, a theorist at Cambridge University, Paul Dirac, remember Dirac? Remember me this morning, just this morning, talking about him, reading from him? In 1928, a theorist at Cambridge University, Paul Dirac, had been attempting to combine Einstein's theory of special relativity with the equations governing the behavior of electrons in electromagnetic fields. In doing so, he was led eventually to the remarkable conclusion that particles of the same mass as the electron but of opposite charge must exist. At that time, none had been seen. And Dirac proposed that there might exist parts of the universe where positive and negative charges were reversed. Then in 1932, Carl Anderson at Caltech, remember Carl? Under Robert? Carl Anderson, in 1932, observed a new kind of particle in the cosmic radiation passing through his cloud chamber. The new object was similar in mass to the electron, but was positively charged. He had discovered the positive electron, or the positron. This was the first example of antimatter. Run the reel back, stop, go, pause, frame. What was the first particle that man ever saw? The first particle outside the atom he ever saw was the initial particle of antimatter. Pause, rewind, go, stop, frame. When you go to the center of yourself from your ego, what is the first thing you run into? Answer, the shadow. The first thing you find is not your soul, but your devil. This is the very first thing. Why? Because God has it in for you? No, everyone finds it. Why? Because that's the nature of the structure of the process. You are not being singled out to be fried alive because somebody up there doesn't like you. It's the way it always happens, even in nuclear physics. The first thing that you find outside of nature is the resistance, which is really the beginning of the other side of things, the so-called negative, the so-called antimatter. Query, is the shadow a part of the antimatter of the psyche? Response, yeah. As in 1940s movies, yeah. So what? That the psyche has an underside, is that a big surprise to you? That the psyche has an underside implies that the psyche has a wholeness also, and that the wholeness is radically larger, is spherical in relationship to the kind of wholeness the ego thought, which is only geometrical. The best the ego can do is a geometrical diagram of who you are, and if you think that's a sufficient identity, don't go to the stars. Because the first thing that happens in this universe is that gets stomped on. These little plastic identification card egos are the first thing they get stomped on. Your credit's no good in the spiritual sphere with a bank account drawn on the ego. They don't pay. Your checks are going to bounce. So you can't even go traveling for real in this universe until you shift bank accounts. An amazing thing is, when you shift bank accounts, this new bank, the self, doesn't issue credit cards. It says, you can shop wherever you want to shop because we don't use money here anyway. I'm just carrying the metaphor so you can get the feeling. Notice how the language borders on sarcasm, borders on irony, borders on metaphor, but is not ironic, is not sarcastic, is not metaphorical at all. Back to our text. Back to one element of our text. Our text is actually 5 volumes plus a sixth. It isn't 6 volumes, it's 5 plus 1. It's 5 in parentheses to the first power, which is a whole different organization. In 1928, a theorist at Cambridge University, Paul Dirac, had been attempting to combine Einstein's theory of special relativity with the equations governing the behavior of electrons in electromagnetic fields. In doing so, he was led eventually to the remarkable conclusion that particles of the same mass as the electron, but of opposite charge, must exist. At that time, none had ever been seen, and Dirac proposed that there might exist parts of the universe where positive and negative charges were reversed. Then in 1932, Carl Anderson at Caltech observed a new kind of particle in the cosmic radiation passing through his cloud chamber. The new object was similar in mass to the electron, but it was positively charged. He had discovered the positive electron, or positron. This was the first example of antimatter, an antiparticle with properties opposite to those of the familiar particles. The French physicists Irene and Frédéric Joliot-Curie later discovered in 1934 that certain nuclei can spontaneously emit positrons in a form of radioactivity akin to the emission of electrons. In the familiar form of beta decay, a neutron converts to a proton by emitting an electron and an antineutrino. It wasn't until the 1960s, late 60s, that one understood that there was yet something else in play. Not only are there neutrinos, which are kind of like ghostly particles that don't have any mass and don't have any charge, and are they really there? And then the discovery that they're even like antineutrinos. It began to be so macabre. You could go into the Lawrence Radiation Laboratory if you had special pass and top secret clearance and all that stuff by 1969, and you would find people staring at the walls because it was so unreal. Man. There wasn't any form of fantasy that was more unreal than what was right there on the graphs. It's about the time some people stopped using the phrase blown your mind, and they just couldn't even say it anymore. I was there. However, some nuclei can become more stable by converting a proton to a neutron while at the same time emitting a positron. And when a positron is emitted, a neutrino is emitted also. Positrons are also created together with electrons when pure energy freezes into matter. Have you ever heard that matter is frozen energy? Have you ever heard that you can thaw matter out and you have energy? Have you ever heard that you can do this? On a very large scale, incidentally. Positrons are also created together with electrons. When were they created? In the origin of the universe, positrons and electrons were in perfectly balanced numbers. Perfectly balanced numbers. And as long as the temperature of the universe was high enough, they remained in a complete tranquility, perfectly balanced, so that no matter occurred at all because the energy balance was A1 perfecto. And when the temperature cooled to 3,000 degrees Kelvin, in one instant, this is for you creationists, in one instant, all the matter in the universe was begun to be precipitated out into a particle participation of making what can be seen. Before then, there was a high energy tranquility. You're used to thinking in Victorian terms that tranquility is like Indian wrestling where nothing happens. Well, it's ultimate tension. It's like the self, the tranquil self, is as high an energy tension as you can get. It's higher energy tension than any star system. It's like creation of the universe. It has that quality. Positrons are also created together with electrons when pure energy freezes into matter. One of the most common ways in which this happens is when an energetic gamma ray photon produces an electron-positron pair. Where? Almost nobody knew that this happened until there was an instrument, bubble chamber with magnetic walls, and one could see that this is what happens. The photograph is right there. It always happens, universal phenomenon. Two electron-positron pairs have been produced simultaneously by separate gamma rays. The bottom pair is relatively energetic, and the two tracks curve only a little in the bubble chamber's magnetic field. The top pair, on the other hand, have less energy and curl round to form rapid spirals. And if you notice the photograph, there are two here. One is the double, like Corinthian spiral, and the other, you can notice they converge. The line from the lower continues, but continues in the invisible, out of visible light, out of the range in the electromagnetic field of visible light. Doesn't show up. Still continues, still there. The image shows clearly the transformation of energy into matter. This photograph shows energy transforming into matter. And it follows Einstein's equation, E equals mc squared. Energy equals mass times velocity of light squared. Why the velocity of light? Because it is a universal dynamic characteristic of matter. What? Lights are photons, are matter. Light is matter. Light is the final dimension of the material world. Stronger, light is the plasma membrane of the material realm. The material dome has, as it were, a plasma membrane, and light is that. When you go beyond light, you go into the domainlessness beyond the material world. While you can see with your eyes the realm of light, you can only see with your third eye, as it were, the invisible realm beyond light. You cannot see it with your eyes. Your eyes make images. If you look at the pupil of a person's eye looking at something, you'll see the image in the pupil. The images are arbitrarily reproduced in the mind. You do not have to continue the natural image in the pupil of the eye into the brain, into the mind. You can instead exert an equal perceptual pressure of having the imageless mind meet the imaged eye. And you can train yourself to do it exactly. This is the Zen of seeing. But you can carry it one step further, one phase further, one whole dimension of cosmology further, you can project the imagelessness of the mind through the eye into the material world. When the material world comes through the eye to the mind to form an image, that's called imagination. When the imageless mind projects through the eye to make an imageless world, the term that's used in English is a translation of the term that was coined by Ibn Arabi 800 years ago. It's called creative imagination. It's quite different. The world then composes itself the way you look at it, rather than you imitating and aping the world by representation. The world does what you magically see. That's different. I hope you're following. Energy in the universe is constantly being changed from one form into another, though the total energy remains constant. We are familiar with the conversion of electrical energy into light, as in a lamp, or chemical energy into heat, as in fires. Less familiar forms of energy conversion fuel the sun, which in turn provides the energy for the cycle of life on Earth to continue. Matter is, in a sense, frozen energy. And the discovery of the positron revealed a new form of energy transformation, a supernatural form of energy transformation. It isn't just one more thing. It's like the best explanation of this whole idea is in Teilhard de Chardin, The Phenomenon of Man. When you add consciousness to time-space, it isn't just adding a fifth dimension to the four that exist. Consciousness is not just another one added to four. The fifth element, the quintessence, changes the entire matrix, the way it behaves. It's like the three dimensions of time, or the three dimensions of space, when added with time, form a sphere. Consciousness added to that forms a sphere-lessness. It raises trigonometry to a level which cannot be expressed even trigonometrically anymore. And just as geometric relations cannot be expressed adequately in a trigonometric fashion, trigonometric relations cannot be expressed in this fifth, this quintessence, this conscious time-space, moves beyond that kind of calculation. This Saturday program is in that beyond realm. It doesn't belong to the familiar realm of the everyday at all. It has nothing. Frankly, it has very little in common. The only things that it has in common would be the little, as they used to say in salesmanship, the little leaders and teasers to get you into the shop. Actually, they're not selling any of those things at all. They're not. Those things are not in the inventory. The inventory is completely different from what you supposed it might be in the first place. But because it's unknown and invisible until one approaches it, there would be nothing to say. So the supposedly familiar are just put out to begin the process of, it used to be called unlearning. Matter is, in a sense, frozen energy, and the discovery of the positron revealed a new form of energy transformation, radiant energy converting into matter and antimatter. Radiant energy converting into matter and antimatter. This may be the way that much of the matter in the universe formed, freezing out from the radiation of the Big Hot Bang, or the Hot Big Bang, with which the universe began. Now notice that the beginning of the universe, which happened some 18 billion years, quote, years ago, is happening again within the transcendental capacity of man's mind. The universe is being created again, but instead of being created naturally, in an imaginative way, it's being recreated by creative imagination in a conscious way, by adding consciousness to time, space, the quintessence. One changes the entire complexion and structure of what is there. The universe is reconfiguring itself in accordance with that structure of structures, consciousness. And as it does so, because it has to, the world of matter has to obey the spiritual call. When the spirit calls, matter must respond in like kind. It's a universal law. What happens to those who do not tune themselves to a spiritual call and are trying to live in a material universe as if it were still, quote, natural? Answer, they are increasingly alienated from what is real and feel it on an intuitional level or a gut level that there's something wrong, but they don't know just what, and suppose that it's just them. So they try all kinds of, quote, new age techniques to adjust themselves back to nature. But what has happened is that the whole nature of nature has been transformed. It's like Plutarch said the last time this happened, 2,000 years ago, no one knows why, but the old gods don't work anymore. Why? Because some of their power has been taken away from them. You don't have to take very much. The estimate at that time was that a third of their power was taken away from them. What happens is that not only the old earth passes away, but the old hell passes away and the old heaven passes away. A new earth and a new heavens. It says in the intuition of the time, there shall be a new earth and a new heavens, and incidentally, a new hell. All of that passes away. Why? Because the energy correspondence to consciousness follows universal law. Now, I want to stop there, partly because some cassettes are running out, partly because you're filled. And let me just suggest this to you. Bring next time that pamphlet that I handed out to you. Bring that. And we're going to talk about cosmological distances next time. Thank you.